Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Wednesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you that are listening to this broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us. The email address is godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So amen and amen, and God bless all of you once again on this blessed day. We are continuing on this part of our series concerning Jesus setting up the ministry to give you a understanding of what Christ originally set up, that you may understand why is the restitution, restoration of all things so important that we have been talking to you about this work of the Lord Jesus Christ that he is doing in these last days. Amen. And so for you to understand what has to be restored, you need to understand what has been either lost, stolen, or taken. As we said in the beginning of the opening series period, I explained to you that when you're dealing with something that has to be restored, it has to be restored either from it being lost, stolen, or taken. When there has to be a restoration that has to be taken place, either it's lost, stolen, taken, or destroyed. Okay, brought to ruin. And so therefore, my brother and I, Brother Robert Gross, who will be joining me in a few minutes, we're going back and we've been starting from the original setup. Once again, that you may understand what Christ originally set up and what has to be restored. Okay, and that's why this is very important that as we, you know, go on in this series, you know, there have been people, not only sinners, but some Christians who have had questions like, okay, if we all serve the same God, how come there's so many churches of different names, national, denomination, or you have, what have you? Whereas we go in this series complete, and like I said, different sections, different parts of this series, we're going to speak more on that, you know, and come out more with it, that you may understand what happened to bring this thing about. Amen. Now, I'm going to pass my brother on. God bless you, brother.
God bless you. How are you today?
Amen. Thank God. Another blessed day. Another golden opportunity, brother, to once again put some pain on that devil.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Amen. Amen. And glory be to God. Thank God for you, brother, coming on, that we can go ahead and do this thing. Praise be to God. Glory to God. He's worthy to be praised and be glorified. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we need to lift up the name of the Lord our God. Amen. For those of you that are listening, we are tonight dealing with part four of the series, the original setup, the ministry. Amen. And we have been talking to you about how Christ originally set up the ministry. And we have come from the Old Testament, starting off with you, and to, you know, let you know that Christ, not only in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, God had originally set up that he was going to call man into the ministry. Okay, he already established that, and we have been talking about to you concerning when he called Moses and when he called his brothers and his nephews, okay? God did it. Not Moses calling himself. Aaron didn't call himself, but God called it. Amen? And God has established this fact not only in the Old Testament, from the Old to the New. And that's what we've been looking at today. So we're going to continue on in this series. We are on the original setup, the ministry, part four. And for those of you that listen, hey, if you got your Bibles, hey, follow along with us. Amen. If you got a paper and a pencil, hey, get that too. Jot this down. We want you to get this. Once again, we're not trying to hide anything. Amen. We want you to know this. Praise be to God. So, as we get ready to start, I'm going to let my brother open up with prayer.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we come before your face with thanksgiving, honor, glory, blessing, and praise, Lord Jesus.
Yes,
Father, we acknowledge you, our Lord, our Savior, Lord God, the one who leads, guides, directs us into all truth, O
yes,
Lord
sir.
God, that reveals us, Lord God, your word, that shows us your word, Lord God, hallelujah, that divides your word, Lord Jesus, hallelujah,
yes, sir.
Hallelujah, and shows the meaning of your word is and interprets your word, Lord God. Thank you, Father,
yes, sir,
for giving us light, illumination, understanding today, Jesus Christ, in your mighty name. Anoint our minds, Lord Jesus, with the blood of Jesus. Anoint our minds.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And
yes,
stop
Lord,
all the hindering Satan, O Lord God, that will try to hinder us, that will try to stop us from receiving
yes, sir,
these words, O Lord God, of truth. These words, O Lord God,
thank
hallelujah,
Jesus,
that's in the rock, that's the rock of the Lord God, hallelujah, this rock, Lord God, that is, hallelujah, immovable,
yes,
hallelujah, if you be on this rock, you cannot be moved, glory to the Lamb,
yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, the rock,
glory to the Lamb.
Word, Christ's name, hallelujah, and we thank
yes,
you,
Lord
God, for all these
we thank
that
you,
we
Jesus.
Ask, Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus, thank you,
yes,
Lord,
Lord
Jesus, for all your in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Thank the Lord for another opportunity, another blessed day, another time and a chance here. I'm going to get ready to let my brother start this off, and I'm going to come up behind him. Once again, we are on the original setup, the ministry part four. We are coming before you and talking to you about how that the Lord Jesus Christ set it up originally that for man to come into the place of the ministry, in ministry, that he was to call man in his place, okay? He did not originally set up for man to call himself in the place or just place himself or even for the quote, so therefore, as we go into part four today, I am going to let my brother start this off, come with the word of God, and then I'm going to come with behind. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the Lamb. Thank you, Father. We acknowledge you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like to start off in Hebrews, the sixth chapter. Thank you,
Hebrews,
Jesus.
Hebrews chapter 6.
Yes, starting
if
the first
you have
verse.
Your Bible with you, those of you that are listening, go to Hebrews chapter 6. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 6. And we're starting at which verse, brother?
First verse.
Okay, Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse number 1. Thank you, Jesus. And the word of God says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them that end, that them an end of all strife. Wherefore God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entered into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Okay. Brothers and sisters, you remember last night we talked about, we was on Hebrews, the fifth chapter, and we discovered that the Lord brought about this priesthood, hallelujah, and then that Jesus Christ came through this same priesthood of Melchizedek, hallelujah, hallelujah, that was set up in the time of Genesis. Did you know the time of Abraham? Because Abraham met Melchizedek, you know, at one time. You know, he knew
Amen.
Him. Glory to the Lamb. He paid tithes to him. Okay? Glory to the Lamb. Okay? Now, this priesthood, okay, hallelujah, is important. Why? Because this is the example that God set from the beginning, okay? His pattern, okay? His pattern. His design, okay, is there, okay? In the Old Testament, from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament, okay, is there, okay? But in this sixth chapter of Hebrews, we're talking about leaving off the principles of the doctrine of Christ, okay, and not just, you know, we're not just supposed to be focused on the principles of the gospel, okay? People should know better. The people of God should know better. They should be going on, okay? Focusing on more things. But you know something? The people of God haven't even got past the doctrines of Christ. You know, the seven principles of Christ, okay? Which is what the gospel is based upon, okay? If we haven't gotten past these principles of the doctrine of Christ, okay? You know, the repentance, dead works, and faith toward God, and doctrines of baptisms, okay? We having trouble, you know, just having coming to an agreement on that, you know? The principles
Amen.
Of the gospel, you know? Many churches are divided because some want to take a piece of this, of the principle of God, of Jesus, of his doctrine. Some want to just take repentance. Some just want to take baptism. Some just want to
right.
take faith. Some just want to take, you know, the resurrection of the dead. Some just want to take eternal judgment, you know. But you got to take the whole thing, okay? Because that's That's the example. Okay? That's the example. And you can't take a piece of God, just like the soldiers, the Roman soldiers decided to take Jesus' garments and divide them among themselves, okay? When Jesus Christ was up there dying on the cross, they down there gambling, you know, on his vesture, okay? You can't Amen. Do that. That's not good. That's not right, okay? But this is what many churches have done. Each one of them has taken a piece of God's word and said, "This is what I believe. This is what I believe." Okay, but what does the principles? What does the word principle mean? It means leading. It means first. It means head. It means prime. It means main. It means highest. Okay. And it's the fundamental, okay, law underlining God's truth, okay, and his basic doctrine, okay, the basic doctrine of Jesus Christ, okay. And this, if a man be founded on the basic doctrine of Jesus Christ, he will be saved, okay, which is he come in and he believe, he have faith in God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and he repents of his sins, okay, then what will happen? He'll be baptized, okay, in God's spirit, and then he'll be baptized in water, okay? Now, that's the first. If you don't have those first steps, okay, you are not God's church, okay? Now, if you don't believe in these things, okay, then you don't have no business even being a church. If you don't believe in what Jesus Christ said, because Jesus Christ set this up, okay? Man did not set this up, okay? Do you remember when I said to you in the 16th chapter of Matthew, what Jesus Christ said in the 16th chapter of Matthew, the 13th to the 19th verse, when Jesus Christ asked him a question. He said, "Who do men say that I am?"
Amen.
And the apostle said, "Some say you are Jeremiah. Some say you are the Elias. Some say you this that. But whom do you say that I am?" And Peter nailed it. Okay, Peter nailed it. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter, what did he tell Peter? He said, "Man has not revealed this to you, but God." And then he said, and then Jesus Christ went on to say, "And upon this rock I build my church." What rock did he say? What rock was he talking about? He was talking about the rock of his word, okay? Now, I have to keep nailing Amen. This to you because it's important that you understand this, okay? Because this is what the church is built upon, okay? The rock of God's word, okay? So he said, upon this rock. What rock? The rock of that truth that Jesus Christ is the Christ, that I am the Christ, that I am the Son of the living God, hallelujah. Upon this rock I build my church, okay? That's the rock, right? Well,
Amen.
that's the great truth that's dividing a lot of Christians, okay? Dividing all Christendom, okay? You can call it Christians or Christendom, okay? But they are divided because of this truth, okay, that Jesus Christ spoke, okay? Because somebody put their foot in the water and muddied the water and said, "Hey, Peter, he's the rock." Jesus called Peter the rock. Jesus did not call Peter the rock.
Amen.
Okay? He didn't call him the rock. He said, "Upon this rock I build my church." And he was talking about that truth that Peter spoke, okay, that Jesus was the Christ, okay? Now, another truth that divides Christians is that Jesus Christ is the resurrection, okay, the only resurrection. A lot of people don't believe in the resurrection these days. Do you know that? You know, they took I think they took a poll, and they asked Christians, do they believe in the resurrection? And they, and a lot of them said, no, we don't believe in that anymore.
Wow.
And there's some Christians don't believe in, they don't believe in the blood of Jesus. They don't believe that Jesus Christ's blood washes them from their sins and cleanses them, you know, completely. They don't believe that. They don't believe that the blood, they don't believe in the blood of Jesus, okay? And then a lot of people don't believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You see, a lot of Christians don't, do not, these days do not believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, like he said. Well, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, then you have to believe that somebody else is, or you could believe, you might believe that there's possibilities that there's many lights, okay? You know? Well, if you standing on this, what you call precipice, okay, or this edge, you standing in a bad place. Because that means that you don't understand, that you don't know, okay, that you haven't come face to face with your Lord, okay, and that you haven't been, it haven't been revealed to you that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? So if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, hallelujah, and a lot of places, a lot of churches now are taking sides, okay? Do you know there's a uniting of churches now?
Amen.
Do you know it? It's going on now. Did you know that?
Amen.
Huh? Did you know that there's a uniting of churches now? Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. But a lot of people don't know that. Because it's kind of kept under covers. Because, well, it's happening, okay? A lot of churches are uniting together, and they're uniting with that mother church, you know?
Amen.
With that, what you call the referred to in Revelation 13th chapter, 17th chapter, 18th chapter, okay? Okay? It referred to, why does it refer to that, okay? And also, in the 12th chapter, you find it in the 12th chapter, the beginnings of it in the 12th chapter, okay? Now, why is it so important that you understand this and know this? Why did this all through the scripture, why did Daniel talk about this? Why did Daniel talk about the saints being wiped out? Why did he see the church being wiped out? Why did he see the church being stamped out? Why did Daniel see that? Why did he see it? Why did the Lord show him that? Because it's very important that you understand that something else was going to come and take God's church's place, okay? Something came.
Amen.
Another came and took God's church's place, okay? It took the place of God's church. It took the place of God's, the woman in 12th chapter of Revelation. Some came and took her place. Some came and wiped her out. Some came and stamped her out, okay? It couldn't destroy the faith of the church. Like Nero tried to destroy the faith of the church. But Nero couldn't destroy the faith of the church. All Nero could do, kill them for their faith. But they was victorious because they loved not their lives unto death. That same 12th chapter talk about that, okay, in Revelation. That they loved not their lives unto death, okay. Hallelujah. And they suffered all these things, okay, for Christ's sake. But they was, make no doubt about it, they was victorious, okay. But the world didn't want. The reason why the world could stamp out the church like that because they didn't want the Lord. They didn't want God's church. Okay? That's the only reason why it could stop existing. You know? That's the only reason why it could be stamped out. Man could stamp out the church of Christ. How? Because they didn't want it. We don't want that.
Amen.
You even find that the the people, Jesus' own people that he came to first, okay, with the Jewish people, he presented himself to them first. Did they want him? Did they want him? Answer the question. Did the high priest want Jesus? Did they love Jesus? Did they say, oh, this is a good thing he's doing? Oh, praise the Lord. He's spreading, he's giving the gospel. He's setting the captives free. Look at that. He's healing the blind. He's healing the deaf. He's healing the dumb. He's raising the dead. Everything that Jesus Christ did, they had a law that they had made up, okay? Not the law of Moses, their own law. They took that law and tried to set it against Jesus, okay?
Amen.
Now, why is this important? It's important for you to know this because every time that God does something, people are always fighting against it.
Amen.
You know, in Moses, when the Lord wanted to give the children of Israel the law, what happened when he wanted to give them? When he led them out of Egypt. And he led them across the Red Sea, okay? When they went through the Red Sea, okay, and they came out on the other side, as soon as they got on the other side, they wanted to stone Moses because it wasn't no water ready for them, okay? But the first thing, there wasn't no food ready for them. So they said, oh, well, this... We don't want to go to that. We want to go back.
Yeah.
They said, we want to go back. We want to go back to Egypt, where there's cucumbers, where there's leeks, where there's
Amen.
Garlic. We want to go back where there's good things to eat, tasty things. That's what we want to go back to, okay? So they set their hearts, against Moses, okay? And if you read a lot of the Psalms, you find out that they was in their tents, that they was planning in their tents to overthrow Moses, to take it over, and to go back to Egypt. They want to go back to Egypt. And we're going back to Egypt. I don't know about this man here, but we enjoyed in Egypt. So God, what did God have to do? God had to get the Egypt out of his people. Okay?
Yeah.
Egypt was in his people, okay? They was there so long that they partook of those people's traditions, some of their traditions, okay? Some of their works, some of their idols. They took up them, okay? Because they lived with them sometimes, and some of them probably married some of their women, you know, and they probably intermarried, okay? But
Amen.
Hallelujah, glory to the Lamb. When God did this one thing, okay, and he told Moses, I want to lead these people out of Egypt, okay? I don't think Moses even knew how bad it was going to be when he got over there. Because God got those people out there, right? And he was about ready to destroy them, okay, at one point. God was about ready to blast him. And God said, at one point, God said, let me alone that my anger might wax hot, that I might destroy them. Okay?
Amen.
And he told Moses, let him alone. And then Moses said, but God, what are the people going to say if you destroy your own people, that you brought them out here to destroy them? Hallelujah. He stood in the gap and he interceded for them, okay? Even though they were ignorant, though they were fighting, okay? Lord, that's where a lot of churches are standing nowadays, okay? Because they don't understand where they're standing, okay? When we bring this gospel of the kingdom to them, they say, we already got the gospel. Huh?
Yeah.
We already got it. We got the gospel. We
Amen.
Know about Jesus. You ain't tell us nothing about him.
Amen.
As soon as you go to a church and you tell churches about this message of the Word of God, okay, what do they say?
Amen.
We ain't talking about. We're not talking about. This is not our words. These are Christ's words. Okay. As soon as you tell them about that ain't nothing. That's I already got my church. I got my own. Okay. This is my church. Boy, do you know how long I've been doing this? Do you know how long I've been a pastor?
Amen.
And they're not able to receive anything from you because they already made up their mind that they have everything that they want. Okay? What's the dangers of men going into the ministry and getting paid by the ministry? Okay? And I ain't talking about going on the missionary field. I'm talking about what is the dangers of men going into the ministry and being paid big sums of money to be a preacher. Okay?
Yeah.
And they pay you big sums of money to preach the gospel, to preach the doctrines that they want to hear, okay? The things that they want to hear. You getting paid by them, okay? They got your salary. You got a salary. Did Jesus have a salary? Answer me that question. Did Jesus have a salary?
No.
Now they could say anything about they could make all these excuses about where we needed to for our churches. Our churches are too big, and we need the money to support our churches. Don't build no churches that big, and you won't need to. You know, you won't need to fall back on that excuse, okay? That we need money, okay? But I'm not supposed to. If I'm a man of God, I'm not supposed to be sitting there taking money from God's people and taking money from the tithes, okay? And taking those things and being supported. I'm not supposed to be. The church ain't supposed to be buying me no cars. Okay, I'm a minister of Christ.
Yeah.
If I'm a minister
Amen.
Of Christ, I'm supposed to be working. If you're a minister of Christ, you're supposed to be working, laboring for your own, just like Paul them did. From time to time, Paul had to make tents, okay, and things like that. Okay, they had to do other things, okay, to support themselves, okay. But it came a time where God wanted them to concentrate on the ministry, and then what they did, when they went in full time ministry, the church supported them, okay, because they was out there. That's what the church is supposed to do. But the church is not supposed to support you when you're not out there on the missionary field, okay. Now can I get an amen on that? I don't think I can.
Amen.
Most many churches.
Amen.
Amen on that. Ain't gonna stand by that. No, man, I want my because these people be buying these big fine suits. They have all these suits, all these things. And very few ministers there are that don't take from the sheep. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're not supposed to do that. And we ain't supposed to be rich, and we ain't supposed to have a lot of abundance of this or that. Okay, we supposed to be blessed. Okay, that's supposed to be God's blessing. Okay, I ain't saying that we supposed to be in poverty. We're not supposed to be in poverty either. But we're
Amen.
Not supposed to be that way. It's not supposed to be that way where the church is supporting us wholly. Okay, and you know. Paying our insurance and all those things, paying your dental insurance, your hospital insurance, your death insurance, okay? Okay, this is buying you cars, buying you suits, you know, and taking care of your wife, taking care of your children, okay? No, the church ain't supposed to do that. You're supposed to do that, okay?
Yeah.
And only they're supposed to take care of your family. If you are in full-time ministry, okay?
Amen.
Now, a lot of people don't agree with that, but that's tough. If you don't agree with that, that's tough. You better take them eggs and boil them somewhere. Because
yeah.
I'm telling you what it's supposed to be, okay? And the way it was with the church, okay? They was not no rich people sitting on there talking about some, I got the best of this, I got the best of that. Oh, brothers and sisters, support me, okay, while I and they're not out there on the field, okay? We're supposed to support you if you're out there on the field. Thank you, Jesus, okay?
Thank you, Jesus.
Because tithes and offerings is for the poor. It's for those that don't have, okay? For the poor indeed. It's not for me. It's not for me to put it in my pocket. Okay? So if you living off of that, brother, that's a sin. If you living off of that, it's a sin, okay? You better read Malachi.
Amen. Amen.
If you don't believe it, you better read your word, okay? That tithes and offerings belong to Christ. That's who. And if you take them, you are robbing Him. Okay, and if the church give it to you, they are robbing God. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Anyway, what lie is it that will divide all Christians or Christendom? I just gave you a hint a little while ago. Okay, these two lies are the two lies that divide all Christendom, okay? That Peter had the keys of heaven and hell. Now we ain't talked about the keys that God gave Peter, okay, and the 12 and the church, okay? He gave the body of Christ keys. That whatsoever they bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, okay? In the 18th chapter of Matthew, whatsoever they bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever they loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, right?
Amen.
That's the keys. Man cannot have the keys of heaven and hell. If anybody telling you that, if anybody say that they have the keys of heaven and hell, they're lying. But this is the great lie that when the biggest church in the world is built upon, that they have the keys of Peter. Okay, that's one of the things that divide people. Okay, many Christendom. Okay. And the second one is that Peter is the rock. Okay, we already discussed that, right? Peter is the rock.
Amen.
Peter is not the rock. There's only one that is the rock, that is the Christ. Okay, so we already went through that, okay? So if you don't understand these two revelations and how important they are, okay, to you and to your standing, okay, then you'll be out there just going from place to place, church to church, okay? Or you might just wind up in that awful church, okay? That church that Christ, this church is so bad that Christ said that he was gonna, when it's burning, when it's destroyed, Christ is gonna, they're gonna rejoice in heaven.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Who do you know that Christ would say something about that? What organization do you know that Christ would say something about that? Okay, say that something so derogatory about Christ has never said that about any other organization, any other church. He has only said that about one woman, okay, one beast, okay, one. He only said that about one. It tells the prophets, it tells the people of God, the saints of God, to rejoice over her.
Amen.
Because he killed the prophets. She killed God's people. Okay. The same power that drove her is the same power that drove the Roman Empire. Okay. That same power that was in the Roman Empire, that same power is in that church. Okay?
Amen.
People don't like to discuss these things because they because they don't understand that that it's important to their salvation. Because one, this church is based upon not any of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not based upon any, and if you enter into that you might not be saved. Okay?
Amen.
And it's gonna come a certain time when the mark of the beast is up on the earth, and if you receive that mark of the beast, you're not gonna be able to be saved. You know why? Why aren't you gonna be able to be saved? Because that church is gonna have such a power, okay, it's gonna have power to enslave you, okay? And it's going to have power to enslave your mind. It's going to have power to enslave you, to mark you completely. And what's marking you? Marking you is when a person places a, you know, a collar around somebody's neck and puts put a chain around that and put a chain in that and say, "Now come follow me. You mine." Okay, that's what
Amen.
The mark is. The mark is saying you mine. You can have the mark in your hand. In 13th chapter of Revelation, talking about the mark in your hand or the mark in your head. Okay, you know, it's a spiritual mark and it's a natural mark also. Okay, all right.
Amen.
And some people are already marking themselves, but they don't know it. But the reason why we tell you all these, okay, is because. Because Jesus Christ set up one way. He set up his church, one church, okay? And all this stuff that's going on, all this confusion that's going on, all this confusion of religions of men, works of men, okay? And all this blindness that's amongst them, okay? It won't continue, okay? You're only going to go to one place or the other, okay? You're gonna be divided to the church that Christ set up, or you're gonna be divided to that church that the devil set up. Okay.
Amen.
And and just like we've been telling you, the persecution is coming. Okay. We've been telling you that the persecution is coming, and people get angry when you tell them about the persecution because they're not ready. For a persecution. And nobody
Amen.
Wants a persecution, but a persecution comes because there's two kingdoms, okay? There's the kingdom of the
Amen.
Devil, and there's the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And one kingdom is fighting against the other, and the other one's fighting against the other, okay? So because of this, because Satan is your adversary, okay? I've told you that Satan is your adversary. And so Satan is always trying to destroy the people of God.
Amen.
Okay? And see, that's where persecution comes from. It don't come from God. God didn't set persecution. God didn't say, I've set persecution for you. No, persecution's already set against you. As soon as you declare Christ as your Lord and Savior, Satan is standing right there saying, "No, you're not."
Yeah.
Satan, as soon as you say, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ," Satan's going to say, "We'll wait and see. Wait and see. We're going to see how you go through these trials that I'm going to put on you. Because I'm going to put everything I can on you." Okay? And Satan's going to say, I'm gonna open a can of whoop up on you, okay? You know, he gonna whoop you good, you know, and he's gonna try to get you to deny Christ, okay? And he's allowed to try you, okay?
Amen, amen.
Christians run around here saying that, I ain't getting none but blessings. I ain't getting none but blessings. I ain't expecting nothing but blessings. I ain't expecting nothing but money, houses, good things. Okay, I send my tithes in, and I expect nothing but good things. Okay, and nothing bad gonna happen to me. if I send in my tithe, that ain't so.
Yeah. Yeah.
That,
hallelujah.
That ain't so, okay? Because Jesus Christ told his apostles that they're going to be persecuted, okay? He told them over and over again that they're going to be persecuted. And they didn't believe it. Jesus Christ said, like they doing to me, they're going to do it to you. And they didn't understand that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, okay, was resurrected, came to them, okay. Then they began to understand all the things he was saying, okay. And you see in Acts where they was ready to lay down their lives for Jesus, okay. Why? Because they understood, okay. Now I'm telling you, brothers and sisters in Christ that believe that Jesus Christ lived, hallelujah, that he was born of a virgin, hallelujah, hallelujah, that he,
amen,
hallelujah, that he died on the cross, glory to Lamb, and that he was resurrected physically, okay, if you believe these things, Satan is your enemy. And he's coming after you. And he's already come after you. Okay? Some of you just don't know it. Okay? Because Satan is he's the one that stirs up unbelief. Okay? He's the one that causes people to not believe in Christ. Okay? He stirs up unbelief. And what's unbelief the opposite of? Faith. Thank you, Jesus. So Satan don't want you to believe in God, okay? But that's one of the things, okay? So I'm going to leave off from here, put it in my brother's hand. Hallelujah. Take it away, brother. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Praise the Lord. Brother, you once again providing pain to the devil, and I'm with you on that completely. This word of truth that you're giving today to all of those that are listening, I pray that you are and have given your undivided attention to what my brother said, to lay down before you as we talk about Christ having set up the ministry. I want to look at one scripture before we close, and we will have a fifth and final part tomorrow to this. I want to look at Matthew chapter 10, and I want to look at verses 1 to verse 4. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to verse 4. I want to look at that for a minute as we talk about the original set up the ministry. Christ set up the ministry, and as my brother pointed out to you, and letting you see the importance of what Christ does and what he hears out. Whatever he hears up, that's the most important thing. And Christ heard up the calling of men into the ministry. Once again, we have been telling you that this coming into the ministry, once again, it's not something where you elect yourself. It is not something where man elects you. But it is something where God has to call you and place you. So above all, you want to make sure that whatever part in the ministry you're in, that God has called you. Now, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 4, the Bible said, and when he is talking about here is Jesus, and when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now we see here from the Bible, and once again, notice that God did not deviate from the path from the Old Testament as far as calling men to the ministry. We have pointed out to you how he called Moses, how he called Aaron and his sons. And then now as he was setting up, quote, the New Testament church, he didn't deviate from it. He didn't say, okay, guys, listen, y'all talk among yourselves. And, you know, whatever role you want to play in the ministry, go ahead. Feel free. Y'all vote on it. Whoever gets the most votes, they going to be the so-and-so. Others going to be the so-and-so. Okay? Leave it up to you guys. It didn't say that. The Bible said he called them unto him, to himself. First thing you got to remember, whatever you call into, you are God's man. Always
Amen.
Keep that in mind. Not the people's man. Now you say, well, brother, why you keep stressing on that? Because, as I said before, so many in the ministry is more into pleasing the people than they are pleasing God. And there are those, quote, in the ministry who was placed there by men. Uh-oh, did I say that? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Amen. They're placed in the ministry by men, not by God. They're put in places, quote, in the ministry where men feel they should be. Okay? You know, in a lot of your Baptist churches, it is a tradition to feel like someone will make a good deacon. When you look at, oh, we notice you're faithful in coming to church and service on time, you know, and all that. We feel like you will make a good deacon. Because that's one of the popular positions, especially in many of the Baptist, especially traditional Baptist churches, is the deacon. Okay? But see, Jesus called unto him his 12 disciples. So when he went about setting up the church, the ministry, once again, he did the calling. Okay? That's very important that for those of you that have been listening to me and my brother as we've been talking on this part of the series about Christ setting up the ministry, it's very important, number one, that whatever, quote, place in the ministry you're going into, that God has called you there. Okay? Number two,
Amen.
Don't try to tell God what to call you to be. Okay? I think I needed to throw that in there. Don't try to tell God what you think he should call you to be. Okay? When you got a heart for God, you say, God, wherever you want to put me. But if you saying, God, listen, don't call me as evangelist. I just don't feel you do much in that. I believe I'm apostle material. Well, guess what? You ain't going to be hearing anything, okay? Because for the simple fact, you're in pride, and you're trying to tell God how to do his work. I'm going to translate that for you, what that means. Nothing. You're not going to get anything, okay? If you
Amen.
Think God's going to argue with you about that, then you've been misinformed. And the only one I think could inform you of something like that was the devil. Okay? Because
Amen.
God is not into the arguing match with anybody.
Amen.
In fact, if you make him upset, you're going to get silence. But that silence is going to say a lot of volumes. Okay? It's going to be stronger than words. You'd rather he come and say some word. When he put that silence, when you said the wrong thing, or if you offended him, and boom, there falls some silence, you're going to know you messed up. You're going to know without a shadow of doubt, okay? You're going to know, you're going to be sitting there going, oh, ooh, I shouldn't have said, oh, man. And you're going to be doing some begging. Lord, talk to me, Lord, I'm sorry. You're going to be all up, I'm telling you, okay? But Jesus, and the Bible lists these men, gave them by name, okay? Once again, Jesus, when he set up his kingdom, when he set up his church, especially in the New Testament, he wasn't doing nothing hideous, okay? It wasn't no hideous stuff. It wasn't what, as we go down later on in the series, it wasn't about that Gnosticism stuff. Or he just gave certain knowledge to special and particular people. No, okay? None of that, okay? When he called Peter and them, he didn't say, listen now, Peter. Okay, y'all be quiet about this. Don't let nobody know that I called y'all to be, you know, apostle. Now, don't tell nobody. Keep it to yourself. You know, don't let nobody know. Go ahead, be a fisherman. But your nighttime job where you sneaking out, I want you to be an apostle. None of that. None of that at all. Amen.
Amen.
And you got people trying to be sneaky and hide stuff and trying to be hidden. No. I mean, I'm not running around there just telling you, hey, I'm an apostle, I'm an apostle. Hey, I don't do that. Okay, I'm not trying to get glory for myself. But if you approach me and you ask me, are you a minister of the Lord? I'm going to tell you, yes, I was called of God. You know, brother, some men shrink from that. In fact, some people don't even want to admit that, want to say that they saved. you know that when somebody hear about you saying something about the Lord, and they come and say, hey, you must be saved. Well, I don't do everything right. Man, that's one of the biggest cop-out lines I've heard for years. I used to look at people who can talk about the Lord in front of you, but they get in other folks, they clam up. And when the mother folks ask them, say, hey, you must be saved, the first thing they say, well, they either going to say one or two things, if not both. Number one, they're going to say, I go to church. Or they're going to say, number two, I don't do all everything right. I said, well, who have? That's what I want to know. Who have done everything right? But see, that's their way of answering instead of coming out saying, well, yeah, I'm born again. Why? Because I want to keep doing the devilment with you, but get around the folks of the church and talk churchy. Well, yeah. Amen.
That's right.
You know, people, you can say amen or oh me or anyhow, but that's it. Hallelujah. And so Christ called the 12. He called the 12. And in this work of restitution, restoration, we're talking about, in the end, you know, we all preaching about the coming of Christ. That's true. But we're not talking about the church he's coming back for. We think he's coming back for, quote, the church in the condition it is right now. Oh, no. He's not coming back for people that call themselves to certain positions. He's not doing that. Okay? You don't read nothing in the Bible about angels in heaven saying, well, Angel Michael felt like he should be this and he took the position of that. No. None of that. This is why the Lord is getting stuff straightened out now. I know some of y'all see this stuff going on in Christianity. Your heart became heavy, you came discouraged, and you think God ain't doing nothing. Let us alert you to something. He is.
Amen.
He is.
Amen.
He's coming back for what he set up. He's not coming back for what man set up. Okay? So if you're in a place, quote, in the ministry you ain't got no business being in, if you got a heart for God, get ready to get corrected. I say it again, get ready to get corrected. But if it's all about where you want to be, you're not going to hear the correction. Listen, God is not playing in these last days. You either for him or against him. You either move into the place he have you or you don't. It's going to be one of the two. You can't have both of them, okay? It's going to be one of the two. And you got to come to understand and settle in your heart that God calls men to the ministry. I don't call myself. God has to call me. And whatever he calls me in, hey, I'm going to be satisfied with it. I'm not going to murmur and complain. I don't care if God calls you to be the janitor cleaning out the church building. Okay?
Amen.
Do your best at your job. Keep your responsibility. And your reward is going to be sure. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, you're going to get a reward. Ain't nobody that's called an apostle going to be the only ones to get a reward. Everybody that's called of God into the play, even the women. Yeah, I know some of you brothers listening out there say, oh, there you go. He done messed up now. He talking about some women being called. Even the women, I didn't say they had the priesthood authority. I said they have been called to minister in the body of Christ. Okay?
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, if you don't believe me, mess around, let a sickness attack your body and see what happens. If that sister right there and she praying to the Lord, you know what I'm going to say? Come on, sister. I ain't going to say it. Now, listen, I don't want you praying for me. I don't want you lay hands on me because you're a woman. Man, are you kidding me? Are you really kidding me?
Amen. Amen.
The Bible says, and I'm going to close with this and turn over to my brother for prayer. The Bible says in verse 1, not only did Jesus call them. Now, we got to get this.
Amen.
The Bible said he gave them something. Woo, glory to God.
Amen.
Oh, glory. Don't you know you're giving something with the call? Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes.
The Bible said he gave the power against unclean spirits. And to cast them out,
yes,
and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So, you know, you're giving something with,
yes,
the call. You know why? Because you can't run out there to the devil and say, listen, devil, wait a minute. I'm called. Man, I tell you, when the devil gets finished laughing at you and jump on you, you got to have some backup with some power, some authority. Okay? Amen.
Right.
Jesus knew that. Yes, Jesus defeated the devil. Don't get me wrong. But even Jesus knew the devil wasn't going to lay down. If you don't believe me, the devil ain't going to lay down, go out on missionary work. That's all you have to do. Go on missionary work. In fact,
amen,
let me encourage some of you, go on missionary work over to Africa and India, and I guarantee you, you're going to see the devil ain't going to lay down because you coming over there, oh, I'm coming to preach Jesus. Like the devil going to say, oh, well, come on in. I just had about 1,000 people in bondage. Come on in and get them free. No, he ain't doing that.
Amen.
He coming to attack you. Amen. And you got, brother, you got many of these, quote, men in the ministry, and whenever the devil raises his head, they gone. You ain't see nothing but smoke behind them. They done ran off. They done left the congregation. Congregation looking around, all these demons and devils attacking them. Where the pastor at? Pastor gone. They ain't yet. He hit the road.
Amen.
Okay. He saw the trouble. He said, oh, no. Hallelujah. I'm out of here.
Amen.
Amen. You called of God into the ministry, and God gave you something. He gave you authority and power over unclean spirits. I know some of y'all are in unbelief and don't think so. You've been watching all those cartoons, and you think everything fake. No, this stuff is for real. Amen. It's for real. Demons and devils are for real.
Amen.
Sickness and disease are for real. Don't be listening to Mary Baker,
amen,
Eddy teaching. Tell me it's an illusion. It's not. I tell you what, your body ain't going to say it's an illusion when you feel that pain. Amen.
Amen.
When that pain hits you in the head and rack your body, let me see how many of you going to say, well, it's an illusion. It ain't for real. Okay, you're not going to be shouting those words. Trust me. You've
amen
been called. You've been given something. Okay, when you're called of God, and especially put in the ministry, guess what? You're given something. You're given authority. Okay.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You go now. Shut up. You've been given power to get something. Unclean spirits. He double.
Amen.
She.
Amen.
And Lord, about katanabashi. Not only was you given power against unclean spirit, he didn't just do that,
amen,
but he gave you power to cast them out. Amen.
Yes.
Well, why you think them devil be telling you, shut up, shut up, quit saying that, quit reading those verses, shut up? Why you think he's saying that? He ain't saying that because your voice
amen
too high. He's saying it because of what you're saying. If you're repeating the word of God, they can't take that. Got to get out of here.
Amen.
And the Bible say heal
amen
all. The word say all manner. All manner of sickness. All manner of diseases. You know what? We have missed it. We haven't got to that faith yet. Now, I know some of y'all get mad at that statement I made, but I got to be real. Because the Bible say he gave to heal all. All.
That's right.
Manner of sickness. All manner of diseases. All. All means all. All don't mean some. If the word says some, you'd be able to say, well, Lord, what sickness and disease that you didn't give me authority over? But the Bible said all.
All.
All manner. Hallelujah.
Glory
by TWC. Too many men is thinking about the title. Okay.
Amen.
I want to be a preacher. So you want to get up there behind the pulpit and hey and a huh. And that's it. And you think that's going to carry everything. Well, guess what? You keep that hanging and hung to those demons when they start coming in there trying to attack and see what happens. They ain't bagging up for no hanging and hung. They ain't bagging up from that. No way. Demon turn around and have a heyday with you. You thinking that put a little twang in your voice like that's supposed to do something. No. Hallelujah. If you're in the place where God put you, then you're going to have the power and authority given you by God. Amen. You're going to have it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We leave that out. We don't talk about that much. We just talk about, I just want to be a preacher. And I hear so many guys, I'm going to be a preacher. They run around and walk around with the Bible in their hand. Amen. Hallelujah. And they say, I'm being a preacher. Well, okay, being a preacher. You need to know that you're called. Amen. If you ain't knowing that you're called and what position you is, it ain't going to take much for the devil to shake you.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. This thing for
Amen.
Real. Brother John Hagin said when he went to go visit this woman one time, I don't know if he knew that she was demon-possessed. He went to her house. And this, I'm just trying to give you an example. Y'all in the ministry, listen what we're going to be facing. When he went to her house, he said she was on the couch, and all of a sudden she started taking her head in between her legs, slithering like a snake. He said the first thing he thought about was, where's your back door? If you don't show me, I'm going to make one. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to break camp. In two times, somebody slithering their head between their legs like a snake. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As a minister, my God, as a minister, man, it's more than you trying to look cute. Too many of us trying to get behind the pulpit trying to look cute. We want to put our voice, hey. Man, it's more than that, people. Amen. When God tell you to
Amen.
Go, and you going to a place where you seeing people disfiguring in their faces and their body and screaming out with a scream that they ain't got no business screaming, this ain't no joke.
Amen. That's right.
And there ain't no doubt in my mind, many that have jumped in that place, talking about, I want to be a preacher, let them face them demons and see how fast they run. And they gone. Smoke behind them. They'll tell you in a minute, hey, I'm going to cut out for this. I just want to get behind the pulpit. It's more than behind the pulpit, people. When you call of God, he gives you something with it.
Amen.
Authority and power. Amen. Glory to God. So
Amen.
I'm going to let my brother offer up this closing prayer, whatever God give him. So go ahead, brother.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb.
Yes, sir.
Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word going forth, O Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For giving understanding, for giving life, for giving illumination, Lord God, to all the listeners.
Yes, sir.
In Jesus Christ's name, God. Father, touch the hearts, touch the minds, touch the souls, oh Lord God.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Break the power of Satan off of their minds, souls, and spirit. Break the chains, the fetters, the bands, the bonds, the cords. In Jesus Christ's
yes,
holy righteous name, God. You are the God of deliverance. You are the God, hallelujah, of the resurrection and life. You are the God of power. Lord God, of peace, oh Lord God. You are the Almighty, Lord God. Hallelujah. You are great in battle, mighty in battle. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. He is great to be praised. Hallelujah. Marvelous is his name. Wonderful is his name, oh Lord God. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. We give you glory today, Lord Jesus, because you're worthy, oh Lord God. Hallelujah. We honor you this day, Lord Jesus, and we worship
yes, Lord.
You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, even our Lord, our God, our rock, our salvation, our high tower,
yes, Lord.
Our shield, our reward. Oh, Lord God, we bless your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, we lift up your name, oh, Lord God. Set the people free, Lord God. Set them free, Lord
yes,
God.
Lord.
Break their chains, their bondages, oh, Lord God. Break the powers of Satan off of them, oh, Lord God, off of their minds, their souls, their spirits. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
Glory
because
to the
you
Lamb.
Give us authority over all the powers of the adversary, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to the Lamb.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord God, for all these gifts, Lord Jesus, that you've given us, Lord Jesus, this light, this
yes,
illumination
Lord.
This day, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And, Lord
thank
God,
you,
we say amen to all those things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Jesus.
Amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for another blessed broadcast once again. Tomorrow, Lord, say the same at 7 o'clock p.m. We'll come with the fifth and final part, the original setup, the ministry part five, as we would bring the climax or close to it. We ask those, all of you that's listening, hey, you know, search the scriptures as we give it to you. Amen. Write it down, search it. Praise be to God. Once again, we thank God for all you that's listening. This for Brother Robert Gross. This is Brother Nathaniel Hunt. We love you all. May God bless you and may God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother.